she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, hello. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
What? I was dancing.
Redbeard Lewis.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil. Hi. Hey, boys. Hey. Hey. We're here every Saturday taking your phone calls. If you want to chime in, jot down this number, 877-881-1053, or send us your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can and should call Autoflex. They're open today for your business. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can follow along with the stories that we're going to do on the air. You can see some really, autoflex.com's Facebook page, where you can follow along with the stories we're doing on the air this morning and see some really cool videos that we post on our Facebook page from time to time.
And coming up around 9:45, there's a certain car, or I guess I should call it a vehicle because it's not quite a car. But everybody knows this vehicle, and it crashed. So we're going to tell you all the details.
Piece of Americana.
That's right.
Yes.
But last week, we talked about people looking online, doing some research before major purchases. And we're going to delve a little bit further into it. More specifically, do people go on social media before looking for a car?
You know, it's amazing because if you're in the industry, you know that social media has been touted as the big new thing. The way that everyone is going to be getting their cars. They have companies that do nothing but post your stuff to Facebook.
Yep.
By the way, Autoflex Leasing's Facebook page has just under 1,000 likes.
Yay!
And it's really cool because they're all real likes.
Right.
There are other people that buy Facebook likes. What do you think the chances are that a car company in Dallas has 20,000 likes on their Facebook page?
Be hard to do.
Yeah, wouldn't
I think
it?
They probably have them.
They do, but they're in Bangladesh.
So anyway, that's who likes them?
Yeah. So anyway, we're almost 1,000 likes, so if you don't have anything better to do, folks, go to our Facebook page and like us. You will find some pretty cool stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway, the biggest thing in the industry in the last 2 to 3 years has been social media companies that produce additional social media likes. You can buy likes online, as evidenced by a lot of places where you'll see a company with 10,000 or 20,000 likes. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Anyway.
Does that make any difference to anybody, I was wondering?
I think they think it's impressive.
Do you guys, do our Autoflex Leasing fan texters care about the likes on a Facebook?
I don't do a lot of Facebook. I mean, I know that whenever on the show I was on previously, as we would grow our likes, we'd be like, yeah, we hit 15K today. You know, so that's exciting. But I'm more of a Twitter person. So on Twitter, though, followers do count.
Well,
but people buy Twitter followers too.
Yeah, they do. We've got a bunch of Twitter followers too. So, and we post to both.
What do we pay to buy them? What do we pay?
We don't pay anything.
I follow y'all at Autoflex.
I know.
Twitter.com/Autoflex.
I know. Anyway,
they won't let me say anything.
There aren't that many followers, so I know who follows us.
Anyway, you're three.
So, So the social media thing is the big thing in the advertising industry in the automotive business. And a study just came out from Maritz CX, a data company that conducts a yearly new vehicle customer survey, and found out that social media plays a minor role when customers under the age of 35 were searching a new vehicle. So what makes the biggest difference? The salesman that people deal with. The number one thing. The number one thing. Now, they'll listen to friends, family, they go to consumer guides, and they go to the manufacturer's websites.
Yep.
But the most influential thing when someone is getting a car and what determines where they get the car is the salesman.
You know what? That brings to mind a conversation I had with one of my previous clients last night. She always calls me for advice, and she tells me what she wants to accomplish financially, the type of vehicle, and then she likes to have some options shown to her because she knows we do all the makes and models, and she's gotten several different vehicles over the years and has her favorites. But because she also shares her kind of financial plan, she said, this time, Tammy, I'm not sure. Maybe I want to buy something? Is this the car I'll keep for, you know, people start thinking about retirement at some point.
Yeah.
And then they think, I don't want to make payments anymore. I want to own the car and it'll be my last car. And that always, like, it never is their last car.
Right.
They always call me and get another one. But don't be planning that at 50. Okay. Maybe when you're 85 and it's be your last car simply because eventually they're going to take the keys away from you. But, yeah, I think whenever clients call AutoFlex, you get more than just the car information. If you go to the dealer, the salesperson there is going to educate you deeply on the vehicle, which is wonderful. You know, all the goodies about the car, all the pros, too. You're not going to get the cons about that particular model from an OEM dealership.
Wait, OEM, what is that?
Oh, original equipment manufacturer.
Yeah, in other words, that's the factory.
Okay.
The factory dealers. You know, we're independent and we represent all the models. So you get a little, you know, maybe our opinion is skewed, but more toward the consumer and value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're going to definitely try to help you find the deal.
Okay. So basically, here are the most influential sources of information for new car buyers. Salesman, number one. 21.5% of buyers said that was the biggest influencer. And people look for the same things when they look for a salesperson.
Knowledge.
No.
Courtesy.
No.
That the willingness to help.
Keep guessing, Sybil. Yeah,
it's really
just tell us.
These are things I look for.
I know, but there's so many studies that have been done. Number one, they look for somebody they like. And number two, somebody they feel like and trust. Those are the big two right there. And then
so if you
three,
can relate to the people, I get it.
Three is a given, and that means someone that can help them get what they want. If you can't help them get what they want, you're completely out of play.
Right.
But they trust and like the person that they get the car from.
Well, you said honesty.
No, but that part of it factors into their willingness to help, I think.
Yeah.
And their ability to
their
help.
Knowledge.
Knowledge, okay, I think, is a great one. But.
Mm-hmm. We've just made it past the number one reason, the salesperson.
Yeah, it's going to take us a while.
The number two reason, family, friends, and word of mouth. The number three reason, consumer guides. The number four reason, the dealer's website.
Yes,
the,
I always the go there website. First.
Yeah. And then after that, it goes to safety ratings and third-party sites and automotive magazines and newspapers. It can go to a lot of other things after that, auto shows. But now we're down in the 1% range. So when it comes right down to it, the salesman is still the most important factor in where people get a car. And it hasn't changed. And social media, Twitter is 0.2%.
Mm.
Facebook is 0.4%. Here's the biggie, a mobile app is 0.7%.
Wow.
Whenever you hear about someone, we have a mobile app, you can use our mobile app. Well, here's me, personally. I don't need any more apps. My phone is so full. I have to go through and cull them every once in a while because it seems like a great idea when I get one, but then I just dump it after a little while. Nobody downloads apps to get a car.
No.
They just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mobile websites are terribly important. Because over half of the people now shopping for a car start on their phone or their tablet. So a mobile website is terribly important. A mobile app is really, it's somebody that did a really good sales job on somebody. You got to have this app. These people are going to download your app. Well, nobody does it. Well, 0.7%, 0.7% of new car buyers download apps.
Wow.
So anyway, and chat is another thing. Chat rooms, a lot of people think that chat is a huge thing, and in reality, it's 1.5%. So it doesn't even compare with the major reasons that people choose a different car or choose a different place to get a car. Mostly, it's the sales guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it.
Well, first, I think they have to pick their product.
Right.
And then when they meet the salesperson that can push them over the edge with the reasons why this is a great value,
mm-hmm.
and then help them accomplish their goal.
And somebody they like and trust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it.
And they will keep looking, I believe, until they find that person.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. It could work in reverse also. If you get a bad feeling or if someone rubs you the wrong way or isn't really willing to help you, then
absolutely.
It makes you go, fine, I'll take my business elsewhere. I don't want to give you any of my money.
Yeah, people do a lot of online research now. And then they go from place to place to place until they find a guy that can help them mm-hmm. and a guy that they like and trust, and or a gal. And that's who they get their car from. So you're right about the choice of vehicles, though. People do a lot of online research now before they start going to places. In the old days, 10 years ago, they would go to a car dealer before they would do anything else. Mm-hmm. Now they go online, and they spend up to 50 hours. I think the average is like 5.5 or 6 hours. But some people really, really drill down, and there's so much information available. And then once they've decided on vehicles, then they start worrying about where they're going to get it.
Mm-hmm. And if only there was a place you could go where you could get all the makes and models and not have to do...
Wouldn't it be great?
...any of that car shopping around, like hunting from dealership to dealership? Somebody needs to come up with one of those.
Don't call Autoflex for that. I think
I think one of the reasons we've been successful is because our guys have all been with us for years. They're all industry veterans. They have years of experience, and they understand a lot of things that the guy at the car store is not going to have any knowledge of. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to be able to talk to you in depth about anything. He's going to be able to talk to you about the monthly payment. That's really it.
Right.
If you were trying to accomplish something, if you have goals, if you've set out, this is what my new car needs to do, this my current car doesn't do this anymore or doesn't do it well enough, if you have a list of things that you're trying to accomplish, we're really good at that because we work with people. We find different cars that work different ways. It's like we always talk about, do the baby seats fit? Do the dog kennels fit?
Yep.
Does your spouse fit? You know?
Well, you know, you're 6 foot six. That's one of our clients. There's a fellow who's an over-the-road hauler for one of FedEx or UPS, you know, one of those companies.
Right.
Lives in Abilene, drives over here to Mesquite every day.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, right? That's his job, though.
Yeah.
And he's back home every night. You know,
wow.
And back. And for the, he's 6 foot six, so there's certain vehicles that they have to have, but they've been a customer for a long time. You don't even have to be right here in the Metroplex to do it, although he's here every day, you know, for work. He can stop by if he...
Talk about a commute.
I know, right? And he's doing it in that big truck, so I've got some other information to share with people later on about that.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of over-the-road truck drivers that listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we and we also have a lot of over-the-road truck drivers that's families lease their cars from us.
Yeah,
that they lease and their families
exactly.
do. So we get a lot of feedback on what it's like.
And I said, I bet it's pretty crazy, you know, if you do that every day and coming into the Metroplex. He said, yeah, when you're out on the open road, it's not too bad. But going into DFW, he said, is it? Total different world.
Oh, I bet.
From the open road to all the... And I said, so what do you think about all these cars and their, you know, the way they cut you off? He said, why do people think we can stop on a dime?
Yeah.
I said, so have you ever run over anybody like a speed bump? He said, no, I haven't, but that's exactly what it would be like.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
No.
So be careful if you're passing by a trucker.
Well, just don't cut them off.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't stop.
Why would you put your... Unless you're a major adrenaline junkie and you want to see if you can get by with it or something, you're kind of nutty.
Especially when it's wet, because it's going to be wet this weekend, like
it's
tomorrow.
Terrible.
Autoflex leasing fan texts are starting to come in. How is leasing better than buying when I drive a lot of miles and I want to add parts to my vehicle? It may not be in your case.
Right.
It's not right for everybody. So, and I'm not going to begin to tell you it is. Be glad to look at your particular case and tell you if it makes sense, but... And you can add anything to a car you want to in a lease that enhances the value of the lease. But if you add things that detract from the value or cut down on the eventual audience that might want to buy the car when you're through with it, then probably that's not a good thing to do. It's going to cost you money.
Yeah,
like if you have a pickup truck and you decide to add a 6.5-inch lift kit, it's going to limit the buyers that want that truck when you're done with it because you need a stepladder to get into it.
But there is a whole... group of buyers for that truck, obviously.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to say that that's another thing that when you do call us, if you are not the right lease candidate, we're going to let you know that. We have other types of, we have different residual-based financing products, and then we have retail financing. So we always say if you buy something that's pre-owned and let somebody else take the hit on the depreciation.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it's used, the depreciation schedule has slowed down greatly. It's that first year, it's from new to used, that's the big hit. And then from there, it kind of evens out unless you get hit by somebody on the highway that damages your car.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Texter, I've read that BMW leases are less to lease than other luxury cars. Is that accurate? When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about Kelley Blue Book's cheapest cars to own for the first 5 years. We'll see if BMW's on the list.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Redbeard Lewis, and me, Sybil. Phone number to the studio, if you've got a question, 877-881-1053, or send us a text, 43733. And you can call Autoflex. They are open today. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, Autoflex.com, where you can go and see all our great pre-owned cars. You can build any car you might want to build and send it to us so we can tell you how it would lease. Or you can get a free Black Book appraisal on your trade-in at Autoflex.com.
Mm-hmm. Before we went to break, we read this Autoflex Leasing fan text, which leads perfectly into our next story. I've read that BMW leases are less to lease than other luxury cars. Is this accurate?
Well, you know, I guess it's according to who you listen to, but Kelley Blue Book has just announced their fourth annual five-year cost to own awards, and that means that they did a study on vehicles looking at depreciation, expected fuel cost, finance and insurance fees, maintenance and repair costs, and state fees, taxes, and renewal of registration, that kind of thing. And their list says that the number one car that is inexpensive to own is a Subaru. Across the lines of its entire line, they were the least expensive overall. We've talked about Subaru on the show in the past. They've got fabulous resale value. People that drive Subarus are almost religious. I mean, they mm-hmm. love their Subaru. If you go to Seattle, Denver, Colorado, New York, you will find Subaru retail stores that are bigger than the Chevrolet stores are here. There's just a different market. I mean, they're all-wheel drive, for
That's
one thing.
Why.
And everybody up there loves them. So anyway, they don't sell as well here as they do there, but they still sell out. Mm-hmm. They don't have any cars.
They have the cutest commercial I just saw that came out with
the dogs. With the dogs! Okay, so I had it on the other day, and it was on mute, and I didn't get to see it, but that was a commercial that I would actually rewind and watch again because there's dogs on it.
Well, the dogs are driving the car. The dogs are driving along.
It's a girl and a boy dog, right?
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's supposed to be like a family.
Right.
Of dogs, because you've got the little puppy back there in the car seat. And all of a sudden, the driver dog starts barking. Then they all start barking. They're just all barking. And then it shows what they're barking at. It's the mail truck going by. The mail truck goes on by, and they all just be quiet again. Keep driving.
That's great.
I know.
So I haven't seen that. That's a great commercial.
It's adorable. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you looked at individual lines of cars, here's what Kelley Blue Book said is the least expensive to own for the first 5 years of ownership. Subcompact, and it can have to do with cost, depreciation, operational cost, including fuel costs, everything included. Subcompact car is the Chevrolet Spark. The compact car is the Toyota Corolla. Sporty compact, Honda Civic Si. Midsize cars, Mazda 6. And full-size car, Chevrolet Impala. And after having driven, I think, all of these at one time or another, I would have to agree that they're all really decent cars. The Chevrolet Impala is especially impressive, given its cost and the amount of amenities that you get with it. Entry-level luxury car, Buick Verano, that's a great car. A luxury car, Audi A5, again, good car. High-end Lexus LS. Sporty car, Mazda MX-5 Miata. It wins everything.
Mm-hmm.
It just does. High-performance car, the Mustang GT. Hybrid, the Toyota Prius C. Makes sense. Plug-in, the Spark EV. Crossover, Jeep Patriot. Mid-size SUV crossover, the Wrangler. Full-size crossover, the Ford Explorer. Luxury compact crossover, the Encore, the Buick Encore. Mid-size crossover, Lincoln MKX. Full-size crossover Buick Enclave, mid-size pickup, the Chevrolet Colorado Crew Cab, their new Colorado, full-size pickup, the GMC Sierra, minivan, the Mazda 5. I don't think about a Mazda 5 like a minivan.
No.
But I guess it is. And then the hybrid crossover, the Toyota Highlander crossover. You're going to see a lot of Honda, a lot of Toyota in there just because of the depreciation costs are lower on those cars. In some cases, the cars have a low cost of operation, an extremely low cost of operation, given that they're either hybrid or they're electric or partially electric. So that's why those cars are on the list. And then the Miata is just on everybody's list. It's got great resale value. People buy them like they're hotcakes, and they are just awesome cars.
I will say, during my test driving of vehicles while I was in the market, I test drove the Highlander. I didn't select that one because it's really just larger than I need. But they did a good job, Toyota, this time, because they gave that car a really sporty exterior and a minivan interior.
For the Highlander?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which means it's a people mover,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't look like a minivan.
Ah.
But to me, it has it's not a minivan interior, but it's very open and very family, people friendly as far as space.
That's the step between the Sequoia, which is a top of the line Toyota, and a 4Runner, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Highlander's kind of in the middle.
I think it's roomier inside than, you know, the 4Runners, they're more sporty, definitely the more masculine choice, but I think that if you choose the Highlander, the husband won't be embarrassed to drive it because it's sporty and cool looking, and neither would a mom that doesn't want to drive a minivan
mm-hmm.
but really needs that interior. So just my opinion.
You know, it's interesting because Tammy's been in the car business her entire life. She's been with us since 95. Actually, we've been on the radio together for 11 years last week.
Woohoo!
Yeah. When she starts to get a car, she's just like everybody that's not in the car business.
Well, everybody mm-hmm. is the same.
It's a ground leveling kind of a field leveling kind of experience, because there's so many cars out there, and it's really hard to know which one's going to fit in the garage, fit your best. We had one customer this last week that was going to get a car, and he called and said, "I'm sorry, I can't get it. It won't fit in my garage."
Yes, that happens.
Yeah. So
good thing he took the measurements first.
He went home and grabbed a tape measure.
Wow.
And it was too long.
Well, that right now, I've told the story about how my husband has a lemon of a car, and his car just this past week got towed once again, fourth time in 18 months.
Did he park it in a bad spot?
Oh, no. No, it was smelling like gasoline, and when he called the dealership where he does most of his repairs, they said, "Oh, if it smells like gas, do not drive it. You need to have it towed in." So he had it towed again, and the loaner they gave him is a Hyundai Sonata, which is a giant car. So he normally has a BMW 325i, and that fits in the garage just fine alongside mine. And this big old car is like a boat. I mean, it barely closes the door. There's about maybe an inch in front and maybe 2 inches in the back, and that's it. And it's wide. It's a giant.
So they still have the BMW?
Ship. Yeah. I think he's picking it up Monday. But they couldn't duplicate the problem again, so he's just going to – they can't smell gas.
And
so
this is a two-year-old BMW.
Yeah. It's a lemon, I'm telling you.
Well, and so I was going to mention, there is an abundance of information online. If you go to Texas Lemon Law, you can find out exactly what is required. I think we did this story 3 or 4 weeks ago. You can find out exactly what's required if your car qualifies for Lemon Law replacement. And if he's concerned with that, he should go to online, look at it, and see what it says. If they can't fix it, it's a real problem.
Yeah, I think he's getting to that point.
I know that if it affects the resale value, if it affects the safety of the car, or if it is a problem that they have tried to fix X number of times and have not been able to, then he's going to be eligible.
Okay.
You know, BMW is actually, it's a decent product, but anything can have a fail.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like this one is the fail.
Yeah.
So I hope he comes to some resolution soon.
Me too.
It's frustrating because that's your transportation.
Autoflex Leasing Fantext, what do you guys think about Audi? Well, they're made in Germany.
Yep, there's four letters. Starts with an A. No.
They're really good cars. They
have made a big comeback, David.
Huge comeback, yeah.
From where they used to. I used to think Audi.
Ah. Yeah.
But now.
Well, they've done a great job with the marketing.
They're kind of innie.
Yeah.
No, they're really sexy.
Yeah, they are. I like any European car, I'm going to suggest that you lease that car, because there's a really, it's competitive as a lease, and also that you lease that car at a term that either conforms to the warranty, or that you pick up an additional warranty to cover you, because being a European car, guess where the parts come from?
European.
Yeah. So if it needs to be fixed, it's going to cost a little more to fix than, say, some domestic cars.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with the BMW, Mercedes, anything that's manufactured elsewhere, that's where the parts come from. And you know what? I'm sorry, but those cars are really expensive to, you've got high labor rate,
mm-hmm.
and you look at the cost of a warranty for the German car versus the Asian car, it's really interesting. It's
yeah.
almost double.
That's actually what he had before this Beamer was an Audi A4, and I liked it. It was, you know, it was a nice, comfortable ride. The steering wheel, though, driving it versus at the time I had a BMW and mine was real tight and his was loosey-goosey, so yeah. I didn't like driving his car as much. I don't know if this person is maybe considering one of those other options, but I'd test drive a couple things before.
Always. That's what I did.
Yeah.
I drove everything.
Getting locked into an Audi.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, don't let them get over 75,000 miles. Well, there you have it.
I have an experience with another customer who was having a lot of problems with his Audi and finally convinced him to come over to the dark side of Lexus.
Yes. Love the Lexus. I've had two. You can't go wrong with a Lexus. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back to more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with your host, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Redbeard Lewis, and me, Sybil Summers. Phone number to the studio is 877-881-1053, or send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733, and you can and should call Autoflex next time you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle. The numbers are...
either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can see our great pre-owned cars, set up a test drive online. If you wanted to drive a Ford and an Audi and a Mazda, you could call us and tell us which three cars or four cars you want to drive. We'll line them up side by side for you. You come by the office, drive them all at once, and make a really good comparison. It's a very valuable tool.
So it looks like there's another... technology industry giant getting in on the automaking.
It's really crazy because a week ago there was a story out that said, you know, there's some scuttlebutt that Apple might be trying to get into the car business and how they'd never be able to do it because it takes so many years to learn how to build cars and, you know, so many Fisker, great, everybody uses Fisker as an example. You know, they ended up going bankrupt and so many reasons why. Well, guess what, folks? Apple is fixing to go into the car business, and let me tell you how they're going to do it. They've got $178 billion in cash.
Woo!
Real money, cash-free, flowing money. Elon Musk said Apple's got so much money, they spend it like running water, and they can't spend enough of it. They just keep making more and more.
Now, that'd be a nice problem to have.
They've got a 40% return on their iPhone investment.
Wow.
It's crazy how much money these guys are making. So here's the deal. They have decided to build an electric car and have it out by 2020, a self-driving, a fully automated electric car. Does anyone want to bet with $178 billion you couldn't do that? Because that's what it's going to come down to.
Mm-hmm.
Can I pick the people that should be in those cars? Because they are horrible drivers themselves, and they need to be relegated. I think that should be, you know, you no longer... no more driving for you.
Yeah, I went and saw Hot Tub Time Machine 2 this week.
Funny.
And yeah, it's actually way funnier than I thought.
They said it was better than the first one.
It was.
Yeah.
And I think it opens this weekend, but in it, they have a self-driving car.
Oh, great.
And because they fast forward to the future and it's 2025, sure. And they're all from current day mentally, so when they see it, they're like, whoa, this car drives itself. So if you want to get a little feel of what it's going to be like, go see that movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway... Apple, first of all, they've got $178 billion in cash. By the way, folks, just so you know, that means they could buy General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler and still have money left.
Dang.
Yeah.
Big
so
bucks.
Anyway, big bucks. They got $178 billion in cash. Secondly,
there could be like a rap song about that.
The argument was, gosh, cars are so complicated that they could never figure out how to build a car. Well, how hard is it to build a telephone that is the number one selling phone in the world when phones started being built? You didn't even build a telephone.
Yeah. So
well, that,
They're like, they were the original inventor of the smartphone, so now they'll be like the smart car. But smart car's already taken.
Actually, there were smartphones around. They started building after the smartphone started being built.
Who made the first smartphone?
And like Samsung, BlackBerry. Oh. Yeah. So, how are they doing?
Okay. Well, but cars are a lot. You know, their computers are running everything. Yes, there's an engine. Yes, there's a transmission. But what's operating that stuff? What's sending the signal?
Computers.
Yeah. Okay. So Apple has spent its entire career building things with compelling design that were terribly attractive to consumers. Guess what? That's the car business. Car guys. Apple doesn't have any car guys. Well, guess again, they got a ton of car guys. So far, they have hired the CEO of Mercedes-Benz R&D division, Autoliv's airbag designer, Tesla's gearbox performance testing manager, a Tesla mechanical engineer, transmission and mechanical design engineers for Emco Gears, a senior power test engineer from Tesla, a car and battery R&D team from 123. And by the way, Batteries 123 is suing Apple right now because they have poached almost their whole design team. And guess what they're designing? They're designing automobile batteries. Mm. They're not designing batteries for laptops. And a drivetrain engineer from a wind turbine company. So they are hiring. They're hiring a huge number of Tesla people. They are offering people 60% raises and $250,000 to come over and work for them.
Yeah, $178 billion will get you pretty much any car guy you want.
It will. So then. Then the argument, it will. Then get me. Then the
get me. I'm not even a car guy.
Yeah.
I could be a car guy.
Then the argument is, well, they don't have the retail network. You have to have a vast retail network. Where does Apple market their phones? All over the world.
Yeah.
They have stores.
They've got stores all over the world. They've got an amazing retail network that is in every country,
so
basically in the world.
So the distribution is already set up.
Exactly. Yeah. So all of
Monday
this,
morning, hello, I'd like all to buy this, some Apple stock.
All of this talk about Apple thinking about going into the car business and they won't be able to do it. With $178 billion, they can do pretty well whatever they decide they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even if they had to buy like GM to make it happen. Wouldn't put a dent in it.
I imagine their big competition would be Google because they've been working on that self-driving car. In fact, we have an AutoFlex Leasing fan texter who says Google's been working on it for years and it should be available by 2017. So when will Apple's self-driving cars be available?
Well, they're saying by 2020. And, you know, Google is not the only one that's used 2017 as a target. But there's a different argument going on here because Apple is saying they're going to have a car that's ready to go on the road by 2020. Google is saying, and so is Volvo, by the way, that they're going to have a self-driving car that will be drivable on the road in limited areas by 2017. In Volvo's case, the town where Volvo is built in Sweden is going to be specially equipped with all of the wireless information being transferred from car to car and from traffic signals to cars, so they can build a small area and operate a self-driving car. And Google is going to do the same thing around Cupertino, California, mm-hmm. where they are built. They're going to build an area that their self-driving car will run within. These guys at Apple are saying they're going to have a self-driving car out by 2020.
I could see these things really doing well at in the retirement communities in Arizona.
Yeah.
Places that it won't get sleety, icy roads,
mm-hmm.
because the cars aren't going to be operating in that, I'm sure, right? I mean, we shouldn't even be driving in it.
Yeah.
You don't put anybody behind the wheel.
That's a huge, huge consideration right now because they can build all the self-driving cars they want to, but what happens when it ices over? If you look at the Northeast right now, I mean, they've been iced over for weeks. So,
and I'm really sorry for them.
Yeah, I am too. Sucks to live up there. Anyway, it's really an interesting thing because it's going to change the car business significantly.
I guess we'll just see what's going to happen.
Yeah,
maybe that's a good reason to lease.
There's got to be some guy out there right now who's thinking of that opportunity. Like, I'll make snow chains for self-driving cars. And, like, you bring your car in and you put them on, and then the car knows how to do it with that.
Hmm.
There's got to be some way around it.
Well, I mean, there's already cars that they've already got the technology down so that a car can drop you off at the door of the shopping center and go park itself. Yeah. And then when you call it, it'll come back to you. They've got that already. So Audis do that. They don't have a production car that does that, but they have cars that do that pretty successfully right now.
Where there's a need and a desire, they'll find a way for sure.
Yep.
We've had another interesting Autoflex leasing fan texture or 10. We have a 2014 Subaru Tribeca. We owe $28,000 on it. We want to get cheaper payments and a smaller Subaru, not necessarily a new one, but we want an Outback, Forester, or Crosstrek. Excuse me. Is it possible? Well, not knowing all of the details here, I'm going to say, sure, it's possible. I mean, anything's possible. We need to review everything to be able to tell you exactly what you can do. But you know what to do. Give our offices a call, and we'll get started. We'd like to evaluate, and I'd love to have that Subaru Tribeca for our pre-owned lot. So that's another thing. Whenever it comes to trading in cars, we need to populate our pre-owned inventory. So we don't want to miss a deal.
Yep. And speaking of Subarus, we mentioned the commercial earlier of the two dogs driving the Subaru. Mm-hmm. And somebody fan texted us and said, there's actually four different Subaru commercials. And one of them has the daddy dog driving the car and the mommy dog in the front seat and a poodle struts by. And then as the dad dog is looking, the mom dog growls at him. That's cute.
Okay. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text has pretty well blown up. Fun facts. Google's version has been out on the road and tested for 700,000 miles with zero accidents. The average human has an accident every 100,000 miles. Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
Again, those are being driven in a very confined area, and it's very controlled, but it works.
Are those going to have the manufacturer name of Google and Apple, like the Google Model G instead of a Model T?
Okay, so you're going to spend $100 billion on something. You think you wouldn't call it an iCar?
Oh, yeah, the
sure
Apple iCar.
Would. Yeah.
I'd call it my car.
Yeah.
Because
you would think they'd partner up with some like luxury brand or something so that they could make
that's
it.
That's where they're going.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be the Google car, but that's just my opinion.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Textures, hang on. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more answers.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Redbeard Lewis, and me, Sybil. Phone number to the studio, 877-881-1053, or give us an Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And if you're looking for a new or pre-owned car, call these numbers.
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area.